Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
It'll mean financial independence. Because if you think about it, when he says he can sell anything, he can just because he knows all this. And as long as you apply it and you just keep learning from it each time, you will. I have no doubt in that.
Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's a short recording with Kyle from San Diego. Kyle ordered Brian Keith Voile's Advertising Magic course about 4 months ago. And here's an update of how that course has changed his life. Number one, you said, about 3 weeks ago, you finally left your day job from the past 3 years. Working at extended student services in an elementary school, you had to work from 6 to 10 a.m., and when you would get home, you would fall asleep or go to lunch and not get any work done on your business. So it was sad to leave, but you needed to do it. So what? Tell me about that.
Well, I don't know. I just, like you just said, I would get home at 10 in the morning, and then I'd just be totally tired because I'd stay up late anyway.
Uh-huh.
And so I'd just fall asleep and then not wake up until 3, and then I wouldn't even start to do any work. And when I did, it wasn't, like, quality work, trying to get work. It was more just studying.
Yeah. And it was just a part-time job. How many days were you working there?
Monday through Friday.
Okay. So it was some money, but you're replacing some of that income with your illustrating business, right?
Yeah, it would only bring in about $700 a month. So, I mean, it's good for me just because I'm 21 and just like to get money.
Right.
And it's easy work. But it's definitely not worth it for the time that I was investing.
That's right. Now you're realizing you can make more with your time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's a smart move. Good job.
Okay.
All right, you talked to Brian Keith Voile's again a few times on the phone, and you wrote a sales letter for your school assembly with using his ad magic and his letter in your left hand. Then you had Brian check it out, and he did, and then you sent it to 26 schools about a week ago, and booked eight shows.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was. I was pretty excited when it happened.
Sorry, so tell me about the process. You got Ad Magic. Did you rifle through that whole thing and study it?
Not the whole thing. I kind of got sidetracked on Gary Halbert stuff.
Okay.
So, but I'm about halfway through Ad Magic, and I copied all of Brian's ads in the back.
Uh-huh.
And then later I started doing that with Gary, but we're going to talk about it later, I think.
Okay.
So, then I found all his assembly letters, and so I called him first and said, hey, can I tweak this to my stuff?
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, yeah, sure, and then send it to me when you're done.
Okay.
I was like, okay. So I copied down his letter first, and then I had that in one hand, and then I just went sentence by sentence through it, adapting it to mine.
So you just modeled it. He had a letter booking his assemblies for the clown birthday. What was it? The clown?
Magic.
Sorry, that's right.
Yeah.
Uncle Brian. Magic.
Uh-huh.
And you just modeled it and made it fit your illustrating.
Yeah.
All right. And was this was this a one pager? How many pages was it?
It's 3 pages front and back.
3 pages front and back. So it's six pages.
Yeah.
And then you had already another letter that you were sending out, didn't you, before you did this one?
Yeah.
And what? How many pages was that one?
The first one I ever did was about one pages.
Uh-huh.
And then one page, and that didn't do very well at all.
How many would you send? What kind of response would you get on that?
That one I got like two responses out of like 1,000.
Two out of 1,000, and you were sending it to the very same people, right?
Here and there, yeah.
All right, so this six-page letter, you sent out 26. In the, tell me what happened. You sent it out. Do you remember what day you sent it out?
I sent it out, I think, the Saturday before I hurt my knee.
Okay.
2 weeks ago.
And what were your expectations?
And I was just trying to see what I can do with it. So I sent it out to 26 local schools.
Did you hand address them?
Yeah, I hand addressed them all.
Live stamp?
Uh-huh.
Corner, what do you have on the corner, the return address?
I just used the little standard one that I would use on any old letter.
Do you have your name?
My name.
Personal name or your company name?
My personal name.
Okay, personal name. And it went right to, who was it going to?
It was going to, since it was a... It was for the same school district that I used to work for before.
Yeah.
So I had everybody's names of who booked the assembly.
Uh-huh.
And so I just directed it straight to them.
Okay. All right, and then that was like on a Saturday, and when did the call, when did the letter hit, like Monday or Tuesday?
It hit Tuesday. I was out of town, but I called everybody back that same day.
So you, tell me when you checked your answering machine, like, you know, when did the messages started coming in Tuesday? You checked your voicemail or your answering machine?
Yeah, on Tuesday, and I had about three, and then the next day I got three more, and then...
And what were the what kind of messages were they leaving?
They were just saying, hey, Kyle, we liked your letter, we want a book. And I actually had one lady, because I sent it out again the following Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And,
same letter, same people who did not respond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually attached a post-it note that says second chance deadline approaching.
Awesome, okay.
Because that was one thing that Brian told me to do, so I was like, okay.
All right, so you sent it out again to everyone who did not respond.
And then I got a couple more out of that, and then one lady was like, that was such a good thing following up with the follow-up flyer, she called it,
uh-huh.
Letter.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty awesome that she noticed that, so I was like, oh, okay.
So the first time you mailed it, you brought in, how many did you book?
I brought in six, and then I got an extra two after the second one.
Eight. And then, and I guarantee you, if you mail it again, you can bring in another two.
I actually have them stamped and ready to go.
Ready to go. All right, that's going to be exciting to know. That is awesome. Now, what was the offer in the letter?
What do you mean, offer?
The letter went out to these people, and it said, book you, and how much was it? What was the offer? What do they have to do to book you?
They just have to call me before February 23rd, and then they'd save $100 off the regular price, which I had set at $600, so they'd be paying me $500 if they called beforehand.
Okay, so you booked $500 assembly.
Yes.
They pay you $500.
Yeah.
And you got eight of them so far, so that brought you, that's going to bring you $4,000 in sales.
Yeah.
From a letter that went out to 26 people.
Yeah.
And probably cost you to mail out 26 letters under $20.
Yeah.
Not a bad investment.
No, it's an awesome investment.
And, now when do they pay? How do you set that up?
A lot of them will call me and they'll say, do we need to make a deposit or anything? And I just say, no, you know what, just see the assembly and then you can pay me the day of or you can mail me a check up to 30 days later.
Uh-huh. And how far off do you book with these eight people? Like how far away are the assemblies?
Some of them are right towards the end of the year in June, but some of them are up closer in, let me pull up my calendar. Some of them are in April, May, June. Right in there.
Now, how many more schools could you mail this same letter out? These were all right in your district?
Yeah.
And how many schools are there in the other districts? There's got to be, what are there, 1,000?
I have a national mailing list. I think I'm only missing a few states, but I put it together by going to all the Department of Education website.
Yeah.
And then they all have on there your school list.
Do you have names?
No, what I do, I address them to assembly coordinator if I don't have the name.
Good job, okay.
And so I have like 25,000 schools.
Is that how you did this one, assembly coordinator?
No, this one I had the exact names because I worked for the district before.
All right.
So I had those.
Okay.
But just in San Diego alone, there's approximately 400 schools. Or San Diego County,
mm-hmm.
There's about 400 schools. So I'm actually going to mail those out pretty soon.
Okay, now you just said you sent out 286 more copies of it last week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now where did these go?
Those went to kind of between here and Los Angeles, like Orange County area.
Now, were they addressed to assembly coordinator or the person?
Assembly coordinator.
All right. Now, have you started getting a response on that?
On Tuesday, when it should have hit, I got about two calls, I think, one or two calls.
Okay, out of 286.
Yeah.
Same letter and everything. The only difference was it said assembly coordinator.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what kind of difference you get there.
Yeah.
Having the person's name. And if it is a big difference, certainly it may be worth your while paying someone to call these schools and getting the name of the assembly coordinator.
Definitely. That's something I'm thinking of doing just myself.
Well, you know what? Don't do that. I mean, you look, you got to spend your time more wisely. You can go on to Elance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go post a job. You need someone to do some light telemarketing, calling, and verifying a name at a you know location. Do you have the phone numbers with that national list you had?
Yeah.
So all you do is you pay someone, you pay them a dime or 15 cents to make the call.
Uh-huh.
You can get a very inexpensive phone card and give them a phone card. They can call from their house. Mm-hmm. Then you pay them to do it. I mean,
all right.
Don't spend your time on the phone doing it. Hire someone to do it.
Okay.
Hire a kid for, you know, you go on Elance and you can post a job once you get set up with them, and you can have people bidding on your project within 30 minutes.
Okay,
so that'd probably be a good way, a better way to use your time. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm doing now at the envelopes. I got a bunch of my friends to do them.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good plan there. So. All right, so that'll be interesting to see. You hand address the envelopes, improve results, because you were using a white label before. That's
yeah.
A good idea. And you got some of your friends to address stuff and stamp 500 letters a week for you for 10 cents a letter. That's fine.
Yeah.
Give another 10 cents if they want to get on the phone. You pay for the phone call. If each phone call is only going to cost you, they shouldn't be on the phone more than a minute or two. It should only cost you about 12 cents for the phone call.
All right.
And if you pay them a quarter for everyone they verify and get the name for, it'll totally be worth it, you know?
Okay. That's a good idea.
Okay, here. You found that one of your competitors, that Mark Chrysler guy, I went to his site, completely stole what he teaches from someone else.
Yeah.
What was going on? So his presentation, which you've seen, how'd you figure that out?
Well, it wasn't his presentation. I knew for a long time that his sort of art teacher mentor guy
mm-hmm.
was a guy by the name of Bruce McIntyre. And so I started looking on the internet for him. And I found a couple of his books, and I looked at them, and I'm like, that's the exact same thing that Mark draws.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Really?
So I'm sure that Bruce McIntyre wasn't mad or anything that Mark did it, because they were good friends.
Yeah.
But it was just weird to me that, wow, he totally took somebody's style.
So I saw those books he had on his website. How does he use those books in his with his business? Does he sell them or what?
Yeah, he sells them. They're in bookstores all over the place.
So this guy's local in San Diego?
He used to be up in Carlsbad.
Uh-huh.
Then he moved to Santa Barbara, and now he's in Wisconsin.
I see. Okay.
And, yeah, he's a nice guy, but we fell out of taste with each other.
Yeah, I remember you were talking to him, and he wanted all this money from you. Is that the guy?
No, he wanted me to call him Mr. Kissler.
Mr. Kissler.
Yeah, and I was calling him Mark.
Yeah.
And so I wanted, if it was going to go that way, I didn't want to be involved with him and stuff.
If he was going to be a control freak like that.
Yeah, I didn't think that was that professional on his part, but he said it wasn't on mine. And so we just kind of just said, all right, we'll go our separate ways.
All right. So what were you doing with him originally?
I wrote him a letter and said, hey, I want to do what you do. I remember when I was a kid, you'd come to my school and do the assemblies, and you've always been someone that I kind of looked up to.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, okay. And I don't think he took me seriously at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, do these assignments. And so I was like, okay. So he says, go do a bunch of free assemblies and get letters of recommendations from everybody.
All right.
So I did about 100 of those, and then I had all the letters of recommendation.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, now videotape a few and send them to me.
Okay.
I videotaped some and sent them to him, and then he's like, these look great. I'm on tour right now, but I'll give you a call in June when I'm out of tour.
He never called you?
Well, no, he didn't call me because that was when we kind of got into the little argument over what I should call him.
Uh-huh.
And Yeah, so that was that.
All right, so, all right. And he probably felt like you may have been a threat as well.
Maybe.
But he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, he's definitely set in what he's doing.
All right,
he's a good guy. It was just that one little thing that we wouldn't get to each other like that.
Right. Okay, that's interesting. All right, so how are you have videotaped it? Since we talked, have you done a kick butt videotape of one of your assemblies?
Not yet. I haven't had too many of them.
You haven't had too many of them. All right, well, now you have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we talked about you being able to duplicate yourself and be able to sell that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
I have a friend who's going to videotape him. The problem is just my knee right now.
Right.
Because I can't get out there and do them.
That's true. Okay. So are you, you've booked these things, are you going to be able to get out there and do it with your knee? I mean, when's your knee going to, you're going to be in a cast for how long?
I just rescheduled a bunch of them.
All right, well, you can do it. I mean, if you get a walking cast, you should be able to do it. What do you think?
It's just a matter of when I'll be able to walk.
Well, what about, could you do it on crutches? I mean, how much walking around are you doing up there?
I do quite a bit because I'm a pretty energetic guy.
Okay.
So I have it cleared until March 1st.
All right, bummer.
And I've rescheduled them all.
So the assembly is $500 for the school. The kids don't pay anything. It's just an assembly, right?
Yes.
Now, you've implemented, you plan on when you go to the assembly, how are you going to capture these kids' names and numbers and addresses?
I'm going to do what Brian did and do the little fan club thing by giving them a coloring sheet, or it might actually turn out to be sort of a drawing test thing. Like
test that. Your skill. Win something. Let them win a contest, you know?
Yeah.
What about, okay.
Right now I actually have t-shirts made and a bunch of little sketchbooks.
Right.
So I'm giving those out, and I'm either thinking of reselling those or giving them away, because they only cost me $1 to make.
Yeah.
So.
All right, have you tested this yet, the coloring sheet or the drawing sheet?
No.
Okay, so the on these next ones, once you're able to do them, you'll test that.
Yeah, I haven't had a show in quite a while.
Okay. All right, but the most important thing is you got a letter that works, you know?
And yeah,
it's just like turning on the little money machine. When you want to go work, you mail out the letters and you go do them.
Yeah.
You know? All right, well, good. Okay, so five. You listened to all of the stuff with Richard, and then you took the analysis worksheet, the opportunity analysis for the HMA program, and you did a call interview with a hairdresser up in Vista.
Uh-huh.
All right, did you listen to all the recordings I did when I did it with the four guys?
Oh, definitely, every single one. The string cheese guy, the movers.
And then those were the first times I did them, too. You know that?
Yeah.
I need to do some more. I want to get some more up there and do some closing. So was it helpful in really learning how to analyze someone's business?
Well, yeah, because normally you just go into an interview, and if you don't have where to go, basically, like a little outline or something.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what to ask, and then you're bouncing all over the place.
Exactly.
So you lose track. But with that, it's just ask this question, okay? And then they say the answer, and it gets them thinking, and then they're like, oh, I thought about that.
All right, so tell me, how did it go with this hairdresser up in Vista?
It was a whole lot of fun. She was one of my friend's friends.
Uh-huh.
That was good. And I just got on the phone with her and started talking to her.
Okay, you did it over the phone.
Yeah, and I just started asking her all the questions. And then taking notes as she was talking, and then we went through it all, and then towards the end, we said bye, and then I got, right after I hung up the phone, I went on my computer, and I just started typing out all these things that she could do.
Uh-huh.
And stuff, and fixing her problems that she had. So it was a lot of fun just doing it.
All right, and so how did she respond by the time you got to the end?
She was like, wow, I should do that. I didn't think of that, and just going off.
You said when you got off the phone with her, you had solved her number one problem and came up with over three pages of tactics and strategies. What was her number one problem?
Well, her number one problem was she said a lot of her business comes in off referrals.
Uh-huh.
But people don't want to give her referrals anymore because she's booked up. They have to book too far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I said, hey, Michael, go up to Bobby and get your hair cut, you would call her, but she'd be booked.
Right.
And so what I said was, why don't we just go send these people a new letter because she was sending one that was getting decent results.
She was mailing a letter out to her customers?
Yeah, trying to get referrals.
Oh, okay, got it.
And so I just said, well, why don't we do it this way like Jay Abraham says to do it and just say, you know, we don't give any business or we don't do any advertising. We can only do it by getting people like you to give us referrals.
Right.
So she's going to do that. But the problem was she didn't have time for these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, well, what you can do is just take, like, the second Friday of every month and just hold it for new clients. Anyone that comes in off of referrals, you
right.
can do it like that.
Right.
So she said she was going to try to do that.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So she's really at capacity, too. She's doing, sounds like she's doing well if she can't handle any more people or they're booked that far in advance.
Well, I'm not sure if she is because she said that a little while ago a bunch of her clients moved, like half of them. So I think she's at about 150 clients now, and she can handle 300.
Okay, great.
So yeah, it's pretty weird.
All right, that's good. And she was receptive to these new business ideas.
Oh, totally.
Good. All right, excellent. Okay, you've been going to the Hard to Find ad site, and you've been copying one of Gary Halbert's ads daily, or you've been copying several of them.
Yeah.
How's that going? Do you feel like that helps you ingrain it neurologically, as he says?
Yeah, completely, because what I learned from going to art school at Watts Atelier of the Arts is that we have to copy all the Rockwells and stuff.
Oh, really?
Like there's a drawing from the masters.
Yeah, you trace them. Do you trace them or just copy them from eye?
You just copy them from eye, and it takes like between 40 to 80 hours to do one.
Wow.
And so I was like, hey, I'll just do that with these ads. So I started copying Brian, and then just switched over to now copying Gary.
Okay, and you write them out in longhand.
I type them on the computer just so I can get them all formatted and stuff.
Yeah.
But a few of them I have copied out on longhand. I did that with a few of Brian's.
Okay, so you're copying them by typing them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, that's kind of like what I do, only I do it through the ear. When I'm editing audio, like when I edit this audio, I'm going through listening to every word.
Yeah.
And I'm editing, taking stuff out, putting stuff in. But, yeah, it's very similar. And I'll tell you, it's a great, even though it's work, it's a great way to really ingrain this stuff into you.
And you pick up a lot of their little nuances. Like Gary, when he writes, he's just like, he uses, like, listen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he uses look.
That's right.
He uses, this is going to be one of the best ads, or one of the most exciting things you ever read.
Have you read his Boron letters?
No, I wanted to get a copy.
I got a digital copy. I'll send it to you.
All right, cool.
Okay, it's great. It is great. These are letters to his son, and you'll understand where all that came from, and it's really fantastic.
Yeah, I was reading that because I try to read at least two of his newsletters a day.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to get caught up on them all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're fascinating.
Yeah, they're great. All right, I'll send you the Boron letters. This is great. It's like a whole other copywriting course.
Okay.
Brian Keith Wells is probably more detailed than this, but, you know, this is very good. You'll like it.
All right.
Okay, so do this. I want you to just remind me in case I forget. Just send me an email and put Boron letters, and I'll email it to you.
All right.
All right, that's great. You know, you're doing really everything it takes. I mean, you are a doer, you know. I remember the first time I talked to you, and I told Brian, you're a doer. You got the desire, and doing all these things, what has it done for your confidence?
It just boosts it. Every time you do something, everything that you learn just comes into, you're like, hey, I just learned that, now I'm doing it. It boosts your confidence.
Now, could you get that confidence without doing anything?
No.
It's just there.
Yeah,
you don't grow. So,
yeah.
And have you screwed up a few times?
Definitely.
And that's exactly the point. I mean, it's really so easy if you just move forward and are willing to fail, you know?
Well,
go ahead.
When I was going to quit my job, I would sit there, and I have my old boss. She's like my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd just talk every morning, and I'd be like, if I quit, there's really no way that I can fail because I've got these guys that I can fall back on. You know, if I need an answer, I just turn around and give Brian a call or I read something out of his book. It's like all the answers are already there. You just have to apply them.
That's right. Now, you also say here you set up another after-school class at another school rather than the one you've always done it at. So tell me about that.
Well, one of the schools, the school that I was working for in the morning, that I quit the job there, I had always done an after-school drawing class.
Right.
And it's the five-week class, and the kids pay.
Now, was this a, this is a free class or the kids pay?
The kids' parents pay.
How much is that?
It's about $50 to $60 a kid.
Okay. And how were you getting these customers?
I would just send out a flyer to the whole school, and then within 2 days, the classes would fill the capacity.
And how many people is capacity?
50.
50. Okay, so $2,500.
Yes.
All right.
And it cost me, I don't know, 30 to make all the flyers.
Okay.
That's a good little
amount. Have you tried rewriting that flyer to pull in a better response, or that flyer is already working if you're filling it up to capacity?
Yeah, it's already working. I do it. It's a little bit slightly different each time.
Uh-huh.
Just because the parents want to see, oh, new drawings this time and stuff like that.
What's the youngest the kids are who come to the class? How old are they, the younger one, youngest ones?
For this class, I only allow in first grade and up.
First grade and up.
Yeah, but in the assemblies, it's kindergarten through whatever their highest grade is.
Okay. All right, you gotta let me know because I've got a 5-year-old. I'd love to bring them to watch one of these things.
All right, definitely.
Let me know when you have one of your next classes once your leg gets better.
Okay.
So you send out the flyer, you filled it up. So now you have a different location because you quit the place you were doing it. That's where you were working, right?
Yeah, but I'm actually going to do one at that school that I quit working at. For them, but now I'm working there for me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have to rent out the room or anything, or they just give it to you?
No, they give it to me if I'm done by 4 o'clock.
That's great.
Yeah. So I had that, and I had one that was all set up, and I actually made a huge mistake on the flyer, and I had to cancel it.
What happened?
I tried to do Monday through Friday, one straight week of classes. Instead of doing Mondays for 5 weeks.
Right, I remember talking about that, okay.
So I did that, and that was a huge mistake, because I only filled up one class, or I got 25 kids.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I had to cancel it because of my knee.
Oh, so you had 25 kids, but you were going to take them Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
The class is $50 for 5 Mondays, but you were going to try all 1 week, knock it out.
Just straight 1 week.
But
then what you run into, I guess, is all the soccer practices.
Yeah. If you cover a whole week, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Every kid has one day that there's nothing going on, 1 or 2 days, but they've got other things planned on other days. You're absolutely right.
So that was a total mistake on my part.
Okay, but you learned now. Yeah, you learned.
And so what I did was, as soon as I was going to quit my job, I was going to try to get into the school that I had done an assembly for. And so I called them up, and then they're like, yeah, you can come up and do that. And so I was like, okay. So on Monday and Tuesdays, starting in March, I'm doing a full same thing that I did down here up there in Diamond Bar. And
Monday, every 5 Mondays?
For 5 Mondays and 5 Tuesdays in a row, I'm doing the...
So you're doing two sets of classes.
Yeah.
And you're going to do the flyer out to the whole school.
Yeah, it's already out. It's supposed to come in on February 9th.
How do you get the flyer distributed to all the students in the school?
For the school that I worked at, I had a school or a class list.
Yeah.
And so I would just count out 25 flyers for each classroom or however many kids were in there.
Yeah.
Just put them in the teacher's boxes.
But would the teachers pass them out to everyone?
Yeah.
They would.
And so for this school that I just did, I FedExed all the flyers up to the lady I was coordinating with.
Yeah.
And she just did the same thing.
And these schools are elementary schools?
Yeah.
All elementary. And what does this flyer say? Did you add any copywriting to it? Anything you've learned since you've read, you know, Voyles' stuff?
Yeah, actually, it's an adaptation of one of Brian's birthday letters.
Okay. So you redid it already?
Yeah.
Since you got Ad Magic?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Right away. It just says, the parents with kids who love to draw, a one-of-a-kind educational, fun and friendly after-school drawing workshop at Pantera Elementary.
There you go. What do you think in terms of dollars, having this Ad Magic course and being exposed to, you know, Brian Keyswell's interview that you listen to on Hard to Find Seminars, and all this is going to mean to you for your business?
It'll mean I get to move out.
You get to get your own place.
Yeah, it'll mean financial independence. Because if you think about it, when he says he can sell anything, he can, just because he knows all this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as long as you apply it and you just keep learning from it each time, you will. I have no doubt in that.
All right, that's great. Kyle, it's been great.
Okay.
You're doing great. I want you to keep me posted, okay?
All right, I'll do that.
I hope you've enjoyed this recording with Kyle. Why don't you give me a call at 858-274-7851. Let me spend 5 or 10 minutes on the phone with you, identify what your needs are, what your wants are, and let me make my best recommendation. Let me put a big box of materials together for you that would specifically meet your needs. Please give me a call and give me a chance to earn your business. 858-274-7851. It's Michael with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com and another bonus tip. How would you like to turn your $28 book or ebook or even a concept in your head into a $3,900 information product? I'll provide you the secrets on how to do this. If you'd like a completely free 30-day trial of my system for turning your simple book or even just a concept in your mind into an information product that you can sell for $97, $197, or even as much as $3,900 or more. This system includes a whole range of tricks and tips to help you pack your audio program full of great stories that take control of your listeners' brains. My information product creation system comes with my personal guarantee that you'll create an information product worth from $97 to $497 that's designed to sell like hotcakes. This is a 30-day free trial. If you'd like information on this, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line, write in all caps, $28 book, and I'll email you information on how to turn your $28 book or even a concept in your mind into a $3,900 information product. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff, hardtofindseminars.com. Here is another bonus tip and a valuable service that I offer to select clients. If you can talk into an ordinary telephone, you can be selling your own high-priced audio programs in as little as 7 days. This is the easiest way on earth to create a series of powerful audio recordings for your own information product. I call you on an ordinary telephone and interview you live on a series of related hot topics about your niche subject. I take care of all the editing, all the technical stuff, and I give you the finished MP3s or WAV files and audio transcripts. I only have time to give this deluxe personalized service to a few more carefully selected clients. If you're interested in developing and creating your own valuable information products that you could have complete in as short as 7 days and be selling for as high as $300, $500, even $3,900, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, please write info, product, information in all capital. Make sure I have your name and a way to contact you by phone, and we can talk about your specific ideas. Or you may call me at 858-274-7851. Hi, it's Michael Senoff here with another bonus tip from Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. It's called an audio infomercial. Your audio infomercial, which I create for you, will sell more products of yours faster, easier, and for less cost than any conventional advertising method, and I guarantee it 100%. Imagine catching yourself at concert pitch talking about what makes your business or your product service unique, what makes it special. Imagine taking a professional recording of that perfect sales presentation that I create for you and giving it to your prospect as an audio CD or an internet download from your website. I can do this for you faster than you ever thought possible with my personalized audio informational recording service. If you're interested in this unique service, please contact me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. In the subject line of your email, in all capitals, write audio infomercial, and I will get back with you with more information. Hi, it's Michael Sinoff here with another tip from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. This tip is one that is dear to my heart, and the reason why is because I know what a difference it can make for your business. It has to do with editing your audio recordings. If you are using audio online or offline to sell, market, and educate your prospects, this tip will be the most important tip you ever hear from me. Editing your audio content before you publish it to your site simply gets better results compared to unedited audio content. Think about this. A new song on the radio may be in the editing studio for months before it's released to the public. A new movie may take years in the editing process before it's released to the big screen or on DVD. Well-written sales letters, online promotions, books, and commercials are all meticulously edited to perfection before they are released. You would never dream of releasing an unedited version of any of these sales vehicles, so why would you publish unedited audio? Unedited audio content is abandoned by the listener faster, it produces less sales for you, and it actually destroys your credibility as a publisher. So why are we seeing so much unedited content proliferating the internet? The reason is simple. There are very few people who offer audio editing services who know what they are doing. Editing audio is kind of like plastic surgery. It's part skill and part an art form. You need someone with both the skill to do it and someone who understands marketing and selling. A poor result can be gained by both a skilled surgeon as well as a good technical editor. Who you choose to do your audio editing can be one of the best investments in your business. At HardToFindSeminars.com, we have been editing online and offline web content for 6 years. We have perfected a proprietary editing system that has been proven to get your customers to listen to your audio content longer and to listen to it more often, resulting in more sales for you more often, and with clean edited audio, you can demand more money for your products and services. It's just like in life, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every time you release and publish unedited audio content, you are projecting a poor, sloppy, I don't care attitude that turns your prospects off. Do your prospects a favor. Service them. Give them your best. Do them a favor by giving them professionally edited audio messages, interviews, teleseminars, and selling promotions by editing your audio. We provide full audio editing services that are fast and at a reasonable rate. We know that editing your audio content can easily pay for itself 20 times over. Call me, Michael Sinoff, for more information at 858-274-7851. I'll spend some time on the phone with you. We'll determine what audio content you're publishing. I'll be glad to offer you a free consultation on my ideas. I'll review some of your audio, and together we'll come up with a solution that gets you better results. Thanks for listening. Here is another bonus tip from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. Did you know that I have about 25 hours of exclusive consultations on my audio clips page, letter G? If you go to HardToFindSeminars.com, go to the audio clips section. This is a section where I have over 117 hours of audio interviews. Page G is nothing but consultations on information product development. You have over 25 hours of me giving my best advice on how to create, develop, produce, market, and sell audio information products. Go to page G if you want to learn how to create and market your own information products. Enjoy. There's an interview in the section of the audio recordings at Hard to Find Seminars. It's with a business buying expert. His name is Art Hamill. If you go back to my site, hardtofindseminars.com, and go to the product section, along the left side in light blue, you will see a list of topics. Look for the one that says business buying. Click on that link and you'll be taken to about 7 hours of exclusive interviews with Arthur Hamill. Arthur Hamill has purchased multi-million dollar businesses, over 200 of them in his lifetime, and he will tell you how to do the same thing. It's some fascinating content, and I wanted you to know about it. Here's another tip. It has to do with podcast. Did you know that not only are all 187 hours of my audio recordings available for free online at my website, hardtofindseminars.com, but each one of these audio recordings is also in the form of what's called a podcast. A podcast is a simple way for you to digitally and automatically subscribe to online and new recordings and have them downloaded into your mobile audio player, like an iTunes, iPod, or any other digital audio playing device. But the way you find my recordings on podcasts is by going to one of the number one sites called iTunes. iTunes is a virtual library for music, spoken word, and podcasts. The music and spoken word audios you'll pay money for, but the podcasts are absolutely free. And you can subscribe to my podcast. All you do is go to iTunes. You'll automatically download the iTunes software, and then you will search Michael Senoff in the subject line, and you will find most of my audio recordings right there available for you to download. This is great if you're on the road or you're on another computer, and if you have a mobile device, it'll automatically suck them right into your digital MP3 player, and you can take any of the audio recordings on the road with you. They'll also automatically notify you of any new recordings that I post as podcasts. Also, if you search through Google or Yahoo or any of the major search engines, Michael Senoff, and then podcast, you'll find other resources with other podcast search engines that host my podcast. I hope this helps, and if you're a podcast listener, I think you'll be happy about this. So go over to iTunes and download the iTunes software and search Michael Senoff, and you'll have all my audio recordings available for you right there. If you'd like to hone your skills as a copywriter, I have available for you the largest collection of one of the all-time master copywriters. His name is Claude Hopkins. Do a search on Claude Hopkins or go to my website, claudehopkinsadvertising.com. Claude Hopkins was one of the founders of modern-day advertising. He was one of the all-time legends in the industry, and myself and a partner have authored a book called The Claude Hopkins Advertising Collection. We have also searched thousands of newspapers to pull out all his classic ads. He's been responsible for building companies like Pepsodent Toothpaste, Palmolive, Schlitz Malt Liquor, many household products like puffed wheat cereal that you're still using in your kitchens today, and he was the master and the genius behind this. He was responsible for many of the cars we drive today, like the Oldsmobile. Go check it out, claudehopkinsadvertising.com, if you want the ultimate in education on how to write copy. You cannot pass this up. So go on over to claudehopkinsadvertising.com and learn from the best. Here is another bonus resource for you, and it's about a section on my site that has about 15 hours of audio interviews with copywriting experts, including Brian Keith Voiles, including Carl Galletti, including Eugene Schwartz. You will not find this content anywhere. It'll take you to an entire collection of audio recordings, MP3 downloads, and transcripts of some of my best interviews on the subject of copywriting. You'll be able to play them, download them, print the transcripts, and it's a collection you will not find anywhere else. If you want an education on copywriting, you will not find anything better than this. If you go back to my site, and in the products page, along the light blue section down on the left, you're going to see another link that has a lot of value, and it all has to do with joint ventures. Go to that page, and you're going to hear about an offer on a joint venture system like no other. If you read the letter there, it'll describe all the benefits, and the offer is virtually risk-free, meaning you can order my joint venture system, have it sent to you without paying a dime, have 30 days to review it, to digest all the information, and only if you're happy with it after 30 days do you pay. It's an offer you can't lose on, and if you're enjoying this content, you're really going to love what I have waiting for you on the joint venture link at the products page at hardtofindseminars.com. Go check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it.